Hello and welcome to St. Stephen's online worship service today. We are so pleased that you can join us from wherever you are tuning in. Maybe you're here in Qualicum Beach, maybe you're somewhere across Canada, maybe you're somewhere across the world. Wherever you are a child of God, and as such, we are brothers and sisters all together. So friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? Who among you is seeking the wisdom of God? We long to hear God's word spoken to our hearts. Who among you is seeking God's bright and holy truth? We long to learn the ways of wisdom and righteousness. Who among you is seeking a spirit-filled life? We long to live lives of holiness and light. God grants God's wisdom generously to all who ask. Come near, people of God. Let us worship in wisdom and truth. And let's take a little moment to light a candle, welcoming Jesus as the light of the world, as he guides us in this time of worship. And let us take a little moment to prepare our hearts for the rest of this service. Let's pray together. O God, you are the gathering one who calls us into community with each other, to love and work, to support and heal. You are the gathering one who calls us into community with all people, to bring justice and hope, freedom and truth. You are the gathering one who calls us into community with the whole creation, to live in harmony, to cherish and renew. Let us worship the God who makes us one. Amen. Let's join together in today's prayer of confession. Lord Jesus, you graciously reveal God to us, and yet sometimes we fail to pay attention to the gift that is. We become complacent, bored, or tired. We become jaded to your work in the world, and our eyes glaze over rather than getting excited by your revelations. You manifest yourself to us through the scriptures, in quiet times of prayer, and through the wise counsel of others. Yet, at times, we are slow to listen and then ignore these epiphanies. We need your Spirit to fill us again, to strengthen us, soften our hearts and open our eyes wide to your presence and call. Forgive us for the times when our love for you grows weak, and in your kindness and mercy, revive us again, so that we might truly appreciate the gift of carrying your love to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear friends, God made us. That means that we are creatures created in the image of the divine. Christ has redeemed us, and that means that we are a people who are forgiven and blessed. And the Holy Spirit sustains us. And that means that we can be open to the future with confidence and hope. Be assured that whenever we confess in the name of Christ, God is here, blessing you and guiding you. This is the gospel. It is our good news, friends. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
This morning's scripture reading is from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know what you have done. I know how hard you have worked and how patient you have been. I know that you cannot tolerate evil men and that you have tested those who say they are apostles but are not, and have found out that they are liars. You are patient. You have suffered for my sake, and you have not given up. But this is what I have against you. You do not love me now as you did at first. Think how far you have fallen. Turn from your sins and do what you did at first. If you don't turn from your sins, I will come to you and take your lampstand from its place. But this is what you have in your favor. You hate what the Nicolaitans do as much as I do. If you have ears, then listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. To those who win the victory, I will give the right to eat the fruit of the tree of life that grows in the garden of God. This is the word of our Lord."
Some of our board elders have been doing a book study together over the last 7 or 8 months. The book is called How to Lead When You Don't Know Where You're Going. Isn't that a title that inspires confidence? Seriously, though, I think this little book is an important book for people who are called to leadership in these strange times that we're living in. As we all know so well, the pandemic created a global upheaval, and the repercussions of that are impacting everyone to varying degrees. Now that, please God, the worst of the crisis is behind us, we find ourselves dealing with those impacts and trying to figure out what life is going to look like from here on in. What has or will return to the way it was? What will forever be altered? And are there some things from before that we might actually just need to leave behind? It turns out that there is a story from our faith that can really help to guide us in times of transition like this one. It is the story that we find in the book of Exodus. As you likely remember from that book, the story describes how the people of Israel escaped from slavery in Egypt, spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and then finally got to the land that God had promised and the life that he had waiting for them there. Many, many wise people agree that this story in many ways is a metaphor for the process like this one that we're going through right now. We've had to leave our old pre-pandemic life behind. We are making our way through a bit of a wilderness time, not entirely sure yet where we're going. And we're watching and we're looking forward to the new life that we'll get to settle into on the other side. Well, this little book that we have been studying is about how we can carefully, lovingly, and wisely lead as we make our way together to that life and to the promise our faith tells us that God has waiting there for us. I so appreciate the elders who have committed to going through this book together. It hasn't always been an easy journey. There have been some challenging parts to it. But I think that there's also some good things coming out of it. And one of the most important of those is the notion that every congregation has its own unique soul. This God-given and God-shaped essence or identity that is at work in the life of the congregation over the years and sometimes even over generations. In much the same way as God creates each of us to be unique with our own personalities and gifts and proclivities, it seems that God does the same with congregations. So much so that while people from a congregation can come and go, that's just the nature of life and time passing, that sense of a congregation's soul seems to continue and to resonate over time. It can be hard to articulate exactly what a congregation's soul is. Often we can't precisely name it, but we can usually describe what it's like. There are moments in congregational life when we're really at our best, when we are truly being exactly who God has called our congregation to be. And in those moments, we often get glimpses of our soul. We get a sense, almost a whiff of it. Well, as we look ahead and come together after today's service, to talk about where we are now as a congregation and to begin to discern where we might be going, I hope that we can hold on to this idea that there truly is a soul to St. Stephen's. Let's watch for signs of it together so that we can try to move in directions that are in keeping with our soul. Now, you may be wondering if this is just some new idea that came out of the pandemic. And I want to assure you that it's actually not. The book we're studying was actually written before the pandemic even happened. This idea is actually something that has been part of life in the church for nearly as long as there have been congregations. We hear evidence of it in our reading today. This is the first of what are seven letters that come to us in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. They're called the seven letters to the seven churches. They are seven different messages that God gave the Apostle John to record and to write to seven different congregations that were located throughout Asia Minor in the 50 or so years after Jesus' resurrection and crucifixion. With only one exception, the letters to all of these churches have the same pattern. God praises each congregation for what they've been doing well. He warns them about what is going wrong. And he promises what they can look forward to in the future if they're able to endure. Now, while the praises and the warnings are wise things for all congregations to read and heed, there seems to have been some specific things that the Holy Spirit wanted each of these seven churches to pay particular attention to. Things that were working, things that had the capacity to threaten the life of each congregation, and things for them to hold on to during times of trial and challenge. These letters show us that even back in the earliest days of the church, congregations had their own unique souls. And so the Spirit encouraged them and has encouraged every congregation since to pay careful attention to our souls and to the things that can either nurture and strengthen our soul or could conversely threaten the soul and life of the congregation. Now, there's likely things that we could glean from almost any of the seven letters in Revelation. But for today, I have picked this first one for us to explore together. The letter that was written to a thriving church that was located in the ancient city of Ephesus. And what a church it was. The Apostle Paul himself had founded that church, and some of his closest friends and supporters had been important parts of it. Priscilla and Aquila had been actively involved there as the congregation had grown. And both Timothy and the Apostle John had pastored that church. Perhaps most significantly, it was also the home church for Jesus' mother Mary in the later years of her life. So imagine sitting in that church amongst those people on a Sunday, surrounded by all of those saints, some of them who had known Jesus as well as was humanly possible to know anybody, and others who had been led by the Holy Spirit in such powerful ways to do things that ended up establishing the Christian church for all time. We might expect that the Spirit would have only words of praise for a church with such strong and powerful and faithful leadership. Well, certainly there was much to praise in Ephesus. We can tell that they were working hard. They were performing lots and lots of good works and deeds in that city. And goodness knew that they had persevered in the face of hardship. Ephesus, as a city, was a center for the worship of the god Artemis. And so the Christians there were being persecuted because the gospel of Christ was drawing people away from that goddess worship to the worship of Christ. And finally, the Ephesian Christians had remained dedicated to the gospel that Paul had shared with them and left them in charge of, even when heretical teachings came along that twisted Jesus' message. They stayed true to orthodoxy. So God praises the Ephesians for all of that. But perhaps most surprisingly, God also has a warning for them. There was a problem brewing that had the capability of threatening the entire church. The Spirit says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." It seems that even with all of those good works and all of those amazing saints around them, the Ephesians were in danger of losing the heart of who they were. Their soul was in jeopardy. Well, if that could happen in that church, friends, it means that it can happen in any congregation. As these seven letters show, in our efforts to faithfully face every challenge before us, it is quite possible to neglect or even ignore our soul, to forget who we really are and who God is calling us as a congregation to be. The Ephesians were a group of people who had come together because of their deep, deep love of Christ. Think about who all those people were, people who knew and loved Jesus. And so that love for him, it was an essential part of who they were. They became known as people who just loved Jesus. That was their soul. And all of those wonderful works and deeds that they did had actually sprung from that deep and abiding love for him. But as can so easily happen, it seems that somewhere in the midst of all that doing, they'd begun to lose touch with their soul. They'd lost touch with the love for Christ that had empowered and enlivened all their work. And so the Spirit warns them to attend to that, to attend to that first deep and abiding love that they'd had for Christ. Now, each of those seven letters in Revelation ends with some version of the same words. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, my friends, I think that the question that is before us right now is this: what is the Spirit saying to St. Stephen's today. These letters to those early churches teach us that in order to be able to begin to discern that, we need to start by quite intentionally remembering who we are. We must be true to our soul. So yes, these past 3 years have brought both expected and unexpected changes to our life together. Some of these changes are already upon us. Many of them are relatively minor things, so minor that you may not even really be aware of them. But others are bigger. One was expected, like the change of having a new minister. Others unexpected, like the fact that we no longer have an associate minister, or that we have an online worship service and all that it takes to make that happen. Those are changes that have come. And as we all know, there will undoubtedly be more changes to come in the future. That's just the nature of life, isn't it? As Mark Twain famously said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it often does rhyme. Change is inevitable, so we won't go back to things being exactly as they were before March 2020. But if we are attending to our soul, then our life together in the future should be as rich and rewarding as it has always been. And it should still be pretty familiar seeming. It shouldn't feel like we've become a completely different church than who we were. And if it does, then we need to name that and regroup. And like the Ephesians and all of the other churches, pay some closer attention to our soul. I hope that all this talk about a congregation's soul has stirred you to thinking about the soul of St. Stephen's. I'm afraid that I alone can't precisely tell you what that soul is, but I can tell you my sense of it. It seems to me that we are a congregation of people who come from different experiences and traditions, who've been drawn together to love Jesus and to follow him as he leads us to love others in the same way that he loves them. So we love Jesus. We want to follow him. And we want to love like he loves. To me, those are very important parts of who we are as the congregation of St. Stephen's. But by its very nature, as you've probably figured out, a congregational soul is not something we recognize on our own solely, but it is something that we recognize together. Each of us has our own experiences of the nuances of our soul. And so I hope that you are thinking about what your sense of our soul is. We must pay attention to this together as we make our way forward. And if we are able to do that, to carry with us the heart of who St. Stephen's is and always has been, then I am quite convinced that this next chapter of our life together should see us not only having this congregation feel like a home for us, but even more, it might start to feel like home to some others who are not even amongst us yet. Praise be to God. Amen.
Call your name. Will you go where you don't know and never?
St. Stephen's, it is my great privilege to pray the prayers of the people this week with you. Please pray with me. Gracious God, God of all compassion and consolation, your breath alone brings life to dry bones and weary souls. Pour out your Spirit upon us, that we may face despair and death with the hope of resurrection and faith through Christ our Lord. Help us to dance with the Spirit, the breath of life, which calls us out of the valley of dry bones and into the kingdom of God, both a present reality and the grounding of our future hope. Holy Father, Father of Christ, who revealed the way of life, inscribe your law on our hearts, that in this life we may be the body of Christ. Help our hands to hold the sick and suffering. Help our feet to walk with the poor. Help our ears to listen to those who live in despair. May our eyes be affixed upon the suffering of the cross and the hope of the empty tomb, so that we may live as resurrection people. Sovereign Lord, Father of all, in the power of the Spirit, you know our faults and yet you promise to forgive. Keep us in your presence and give us your wisdom. Open our hearts to gladness, call dry bones to dance, and restore to us the joy of your salvation. Abba, Father, we ask your guiding hand to be upon those in leadership and authority in all sectors of our society and in our lives, that all are working and moving in agreement with your Holy Spirit. Give each one eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to care. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, as we continue to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We are so grateful for all of the ways that the people of St. Stephen's give to the work of St. Stephen's. And we are particularly grateful for those of you who call this online service your home, for the ways you have given in financial means, in prayers, in words of encouragement and support. It means so much to us to know that you are out there and you are with us. Will you join me now in praying to dedicate all of the ways that you have given to God's purposes in this world? Gracious God, may the offerings brought this week be used as seeds, planted faithfully and nurtured lovingly, so that God's way may be realized anew in this world. Grant us the humility we need to plant and the faithfulness to tend your precious garden as you call us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My announcement today is a word especially for those of you who are viewing online and for those of you who do that regularly. As you will have intimated from the sermon, after this service today, the congregation who gather in person here at St. Stephen's are meeting in the hall, I think, or maybe in the sanctuary, but we're gathering to do some talking and some thinking together. We're going to share with the congregation kind of how we've made it through the pandemic, how the last couple of years have gone, and where we're at right now. And we're going to do a bit of looking ahead and I pray discerning ahead together of where we might be going, where God might be calling us in the year and years to come. This is important work for us as a congregation to do. We don't discern from on high. We don't have a church where one specific leader, whether it's the minister or someone else, gets a grand vision and off we go. We tend to be a church where the mission rises out of the people, out of the hearts of the people. And so because of that, it is absolutely imperative that we hear from you, the people. Now, you may not be able to be with us in person today, but your voice is still very, very important. And so I really want to ask and encourage you, if you have questions about where we've been or where we're going, if you have thoughts about what we've been doing or about what we might do in the future, if you have something to share with us about how you've found a place in the worshiping community of St. Stephen's, we would love to hear that from you. You can feel free to call us, you can feel free to call me, or you can send us an email. Write your thoughts down. Over the next month and months, the leaders, the elders of the board, will be considering all what we're hearing from the people of St. Stephen's, and we want to ensure that there is a place for your voice as we listen for God through those things. So I really encourage you, drop us a note, give us a call. Let us know your thoughts about where we've been, where we are, and where we might be going. Thank you for taking the time to do that. It means so much. Now, friends, may the light of our glorious gospel shine in your hearts, transform your lives, and brighten our world. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and rest upon you always. Amen.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna. in your presence, all our fears are washed away. When we see, is when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears.